I used to say, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to set myself up to be a good future husband. That mindset was just wrong. I think it was sinful in that it was focused on me and putting me being a good person on myself and my ability to do it without God at the time. That's what has changed.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Devante is a husband and father of two children. He's an avid traveler and sports fan, but today, instead of traveling the world, we're going to focus on his journey through fatherhood and some of the things that he's learned over the years and things that he's doing with his family that have made a positive impact. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. So tell me, how old are you kids?
We have two. We have one 18-year-old who's heading off to college in a few months. And then we have a two-year-old who's turning three in a couple of weeks.
How was it jumping back to a two-year-old or like baby stage?
It was kind of like a new experience. My experience with my daughters, I was a single dad. I raised her pretty much alone for a long time. Until I met my wife now. So it's definitely kind of a brand new experience. So, you know, it's like no comparison having a daughter by yourself pretty much, and then having a son, you know, with a full family, completely different experience, and very blessed to have my wife. Yes.
If you want to start by telling me two of your most impactful life events that have shaped your fatherhood and how you view fatherhood today.
I think our childhood kind of makes us who we are in general. You know, a lot of our childhood experiences, and I had kind of polar opposites with my stepdad and my actual dad. I lived with my mom and my stepdad growing up, and my stepdad was an alcoholic and very abusive physically and you know, verbally. And my dad was the opposite of that. My dad is, you know, Christian, never drank a drop of alcohol in his life, and you know, very good husband, very good father. And so I think my dad was always in my life, and so I was over there constantly, like every other weekend or so, you know, with the way they had set up custody as a kid. But you know, it was a very unique dynamic, I think, for me to see such polar opposites of what a good father is and what a bad father is. And so I think, you know, the things that created trauma, I guess you could say, right? That like in me, that made me, you know, have very negative feelings about my stepdad. I think having that example of what a good father is in my actual dad helped me to still know what to mimic and not just fall into that trap that I feel like some people can fall into when they don't have the best example, which is growing up to be that example, or somewhat something like it, right? Whereas I kind of feel like I had those two polar opposites. And so those two, just multiple events with those two different men, I think really helped shape who I am today. That's more the upbringing, the upbringing side of it. And then of course there's, you know, I think coming back to Christ, and I think recognizing what fatherhood is biblically, and the same thing as being a husband, I think was another like major life event that I'm still learning. I think you're, you know, that I think it helped mold that. So,
No, that's really neat. You know, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because what I've realized is that you only know the dad you grew up with, and you usually don't get the opportunity like you did to see both. I want to give men and fathers the opportunity to see what fatherhood could be, to give them a vision, and it doesn't have to be what you grew up with, and it doesn't even have to be what you are right now. It could be something much better.
Yeah, I love that.
So thanks for sharing that. And so when we had communicated before, you had mentioned a few things that you're doing that you feel like have had a real impact on your family. And the first thing that you mentioned was praying over your children and praying with them. And I would love to hear how you do that, what that looks like, how long you've been doing that, how you started, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, definitely. So my journey is a little bit different. I grew up Christian. I stayed in church until maybe I was 21, 22, 23. And even after I was, married and divorced at a young age, I had some bad experiences in church, in my early 20s. And I had left because of that, for about a decade or so, and maybe a little bit longer than that. And, just recently within the last year, really came back into Christ. And so, I wanted to kind of start from the beginning and relearn what it meant. And so I started reaching out to men, to Christian men that I know are good fathers and good husbands. And two great examples were my own dad, who I was able to reach out to, and then my father-in-law, who was a really another great husband and great father. And I was a great Christian man. I was able to reach out to them to just pick their brains, start reading the Bible, start just praying the way I knew to pray at the time, and then going to church. And then as I grew, that helped me to really learn, I think, how to pray for my family. And so now what it looks like is, whether I'm home or on the road to work, it's constantly praying over not just their safety, but praying that God continues to guide them, right? Especially if I'm on the road, that they have the heart to listen to Jesus. I'm always asking that, hey, God, please help, when you're calling them, help them to listen, just help them to remember to take the right steps, read their Bible, help them to remember to pray, help them to remember to listen when you answer. And I think just that's kind of the prayer that I kind of always have over my family. And for my son, it really is obviously with his young age, it's more so just for protection, and that he continues to have a heart that is going to eventually follow Jesus.
So when you pray with them, do you pray at a certain time? Do you pray a certain prayer? What's your rhythm?
That's a great question. We are kind of sporadic. I tend to pray when we feel it, like when it just hits me to pray. We do not have a certain routine with prayer at home. We literally just pray when we feel it's right, when we feel God is saying, hey, this is the time to pray. And I pray with them. Sometimes it's, I've done it where it's like the four of us will be sitting in the living room and I'll say, hey, I think we should say a quick prayer right now, or obviously before like dinner and things like that. A lot of times my wife and I are just one-on-one, having deeper conversations. Sometimes I always like to, hey, let's pray before we have this deep conversation, right? Just to make sure that we can stay with Christ and remember that Christ is here in our marriage with us. And for my daughter, it's the same thing. It's, we'll be talking about something difficult with school and how she's feeling about school and stressed out with, and I'll say, hey, let's pray about that. And so I think kind of just like, more often than not, it probably is some sort of, deeper conversation or stressful situation that someone may be in. That is a reminder to pray, but that's always how it is at home. It's always, hey, I feel like we should pray about this right now. And sometimes it's all four of us. Sometimes it's me and one of them. Sometimes me and my son, even he loves to pray, already. And so, yeah, it's pretty sporadic. Yes. But it ends up being daily. Like when I'm at home, it ends up being daily, I feel like.
Yeah. Do you tend to be the person who initiates that prayer as sort of the head of the household?
Definitely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I don't know if it's partly because that is what I've learned is what God is calling us as husbands and fathers to be. And that's just what I've learned so far in my time studying the Bible and praying and being mentored by others. I think part of it is just me taking on that responsibility. And I think the second part of it is, my family just kind of recognizing that, okay, he's going to be that person. And so they kind of lean on me for that, I think, now at this point as well. So it's kind of it's kind of just ended up working out that way. Mm.
Do you ever find a moment where you don't feel like praying? Or do you feel like your heart is always just soft and right and you're like, I'm going to pray right now?
No, what's funny is, and I tell my wife this, is because I do travel for work quite a bit. When I am not home, it's actually much harder. It's much more of a struggle to remember to pray for myself. And just to pray in general sometimes, I'd say. I find it very easy when I'm away to say a prayer for my family, you know, before I head into work. But I would say the hard part is that I tend to neglect myself when I'm away from home. At home, it feels like it's just easy. I feel like it's just, you know, it just feels like it's so easy to be home with my family and praying all the time and praising God all the time. But when I'm away, for some reason, I'm still trying to figure it out myself, of course, but when I'm away, I definitely recognize that I'm not as, like, consistent with that intentional focus, like, to, hey, make sure you pray at this time. Hey, make sure you read your Bible at this time. And I do still get prayer time in and Bible reading in most days of the week when I'm, like, most days or nights when I'm not home. But I would just say, like, it's more of a, maybe that's the best way to say it. It's more of a, like, reminding myself and pushing myself to do it, and less of a just a natural it's coming out. That's the best way to kind of describe the difference when I'm home versus when I'm not home.
That's great. So that's you praying with your children and praying over them. I love those. Is there any specific prayer that you feel like has just been particularly powerful for you?
I say is I tend to start my prayers with, hey, God, we thank you for your grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. Right. And so I tend to start my prayer that way. That's maybe the opening. But every prayer from there truly is different. It's unique to whatever that day is bringing. Right. Yeah. And that's something that I feel like, that's something that I feel like I did a lot even before coming back to Christ, is trying my best to be observant and intentional about how people are feeling. And so my wife, I will ask her, like, how was work? How did you sleep? How was the baby? Right. Especially when I'm on the road. You know, if one of those three things were off, right, especially sleep. If sleep was really off, I know exactly what that means for my wife. You know, if work was stressful, I know what that means. And so my prayer may be centered around that, right? Hey, God, please help, you know, soften things up at work for my wife. Please help things be a little bit smoother tomorrow so that, you know, she can just have an easier time, right, focusing on you. Because stress is one of those things that I think can kind of get in the way, unfortunately for us. Following Christ at all times is that stress. I mean, we don't automatically give it to Christ and we hold it into our flesh. Satan can kind of take advantage of that, right? And he starts to get into us. And I can tell if my wife is going to have, you know, if it's been a three bad days in a row, I know, right? I can tell that, okay, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday didn't go well with work and the baby and you didn't sleep much. Which means Saturday and Sunday will not be fun if we don't focus on prayer and getting right with God. If we just try to jump into the weekend and relax and have a good time, it's not going to work out. And so I think being observant like that is a key piece of the prayer that makes the prayer more specific to whatever's happening.
Sounds like you're very discerning when it comes to what to pray for. I find a lot of us, we need to tend to fall into, I just say the same prayer every single time, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Yeah. But there's also a gift in being able to go, yeah, there's something we should pray for right now, very specifically, and that's a gift.
Yeah, I just read, I was reading when Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, right? And I remember growing up with the Lord's Prayer, and I didn't think, even as like a younger Christian, I remember like, why is it just this repetitive prayer? And I was like, oh, because Jesus said it. So Jesus said that's the prayer, that's all we have to pray, that's technically always to pray, right? Like that, you know, so I don't think there's anything wrong with either way. The church I grew up in was a lot more of those like Baptist churches that tend to be more about like, you know, ask and you shall receive, right? Ask in his name and you shall receive. And so I tend to still follow that, I guess, in my prayers of like, hey, help us out here, right? You know, give. And it's always based on trying to get our hearts back to Christ, right? And so I'm always praying for like, please help my wife with this stress here so that she can have that heart that I know you want her to have as a wife and mother, as a woman of Christ. Right? More like a soften your heart. Maybe that is kind of the overall theme of a lot of my prayers. They tend to be about hoping to bring us to a place where our heart can be softened and we can have a heart that is then easier to follow.
So the second item you had mentioned earlier was be intentional about time spent with each of your kids individually and as a family. What are some of your favorite things to do with each of your family members and your family together?
Yeah, we My wife and I are very intentional about date nights. So date night is every Saturday night. No matter what, it's every Saturday night. When I come back home, it's every single weekend. And so we just enjoy spending time together, my wife and I. We both play board games. We both love the outdoors. You know, we have a lot of fun together. We always have. And so I think date night is very easy and smooth for us. We have so much fun together. It's never really an issue. Unless we've had a rough week with each other, then date night can be a little difficult to get started. But again, prayer lately really helped with that. With my daughter, she's she's older now, right? She just turned 18 last month. And so, she's kind of in that teenager stage where she doesn't necessarily want to hang out with her parents as much. But we still find fun things to do. She stays up late kind of like I do at this point. And so a lot of times on weekends, when everyone else goes to bed, it's just her and I. And we're usually watching movies. Sometimes we'll read books next to each other and just kind of hang out and talk. It could just be even something as simple as just like scrolling social media late at night, being bored, you know, and just hanging out and talking. And then my son is he's a wild kid, so he loves the wrestling and the being thrown around and running around the house and screaming and all that fun stuff. So for him, it's just a lot of energy. And I think, you know, kind of going back to observant thing, is like knowing what each of them finds to be enjoyable, and not just enjoyable, but like actual quality time with me, I think is important for me to know as their dad and as a husband, so I can make sure I'm consistently trying to deliver that. Energy is not always easy to find. I think we know that as men, especially, you know, in today's world, it's not easy to go to work and then come back full of life and energy, or even over the weekends. First thing if I want to do is relax. And but you know, I find that I have found that truly following Christ for me means giving there first, right? Means giving that through like unconditional love to my family. So it means like giving to them first. And I really get my me time truly at like the end of the day when my wife goes to sleep around 10, right? My son will go to sleep 8:30. And usually it's either just me or me and my daughter at that point. It will just be hanging out, just doing our own thing, kind of, you know, getting our me time in, because I think it's important to spend a lot of energy in the family.
Yeah. So you mentioned that as your daughter's grown, she's not quite as interested in hanging out with you guys.
Definitely not.
You navigated that, because I know that can feel kind of a little rejecting.
It's been definitely rejecting for me. You know, like I said, for a long time, until my daughter was 12 years old, it was just her and I. You know, from age 0 to 12, it was just her and I. And so to have her now be this, like, so, like, I mean, truly just could care less, you know, with her dad anymore. I definitely feel rejecting. It's hard. I don't know. I don't think I've processed it enough yet to ask that.
Maybe next year we'll ask the same question.
Yeah. I'll be crying by then and I have an answer for you.
So something else that you mentioned was always learning and growing. Can you describe that to me? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think I've definitely always, I think, had a growth mindset. Even when I was outside of Christ, of course, that growth was going about the wrong way, but I was in like therapy a lot. I definitely have, you know, I talk about with my stepdad, I definitely had picked up some things from him, like anger issues are one of the things that I struggled with for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is getting angry easily and going up to that yelling point. And so I think, you know, I did therapy before then, but you know, since again, come back to Christ, it's, you know, that has been my answer, and it's worked tremendously. I think the, like, what it means to me now is constantly trying to build my relationship, I think, with Christ. I think for me now, what it means now is remembering that, like, my wife says it best. She says, like, she doesn't like when we say, like, oh, I'm a good person, right? Because the Bible tells us that in our flesh and ourselves, we're not And if we, right, we need Jesus to be good people. And so I think it's kind of trying to always remind myself that of like, I am always aiming to grow closer to Christ, right? And the struggle there is, I think the struggle that many men have is like, where's that balance between like, how do you build a pure relationship that's not based on works, but it's still kind of, the works are important, you know, you're supposed to be doing them, right? When most of men are very action-based, and a lot of our self-value in our being is self, you know, like self-determination of worth and value is based in what we do for ourselves, what we do for people. And so that's definitely a struggle. But I think just growing to always trying to go closer to Jesus, I think is what I focused on in the last year. I used to say, like, oh, I'm going to be better, right? I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better, I'm going to set myself up to be a good future husband. Like, I remember even when I was a single man, I was invited by a friend couple to attend a conference, a Five Love Languages conference with Gary Chapman. He came to our town. And so I was like, of course, I'll be there. And I remember, like, Gary Chapman, like, he's like, hey, raise your hand if you're here single. Like, me and like one other person, like another, like a woman who's way across the auditorium. He's like, you two don't try a date after this. It's not gonna work. But it was like, you know, I think like I always had that kind of growth mindset, right? I want to be prepared to be the best husband ever. But again, it's that, like, that mindset was very, it was just wrong. I think it was sinful in that it was focused on me and putting me being a good person on myself and my ability to do it without God at the time. And I think that's what has changed so significantly for me now, is that, like, it's not about bettering myself. And I did great things for my career when I was there in that stage. And now I recognize how kind of pointless that was. Great, because I can provide for my family, but also at the same time, not the purpose or reasoning at all, right? It should just truly be about making enough to provide for my family and focusing more on Jesus and that relationship with him, and knowing that he will always provide if I'm focused on that. And so I think growing, truly, truly just growing as a man in Christ, I think is my goal right now. And I'm not perfect at it or great at it by any means, right? I think we all struggle. And I think, but that has truly been like my hardcore focus for the last year, is not even worrying about myself or where I'm at or my career is at this point. It's been all about, like, how do I grow as a man, a husband, and a father in Christ? And what does that actually mean? What does he say in the Bible? What does it look like? What do my mentors interpret those things as? And so it's just been a lot of meeting with men that I respect and I look up to, who are very great Christians, and a lot of reading the Bible. I do read daily. And a lot of prayer, and of course going to church.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I heard recently a kind of nice way to wrap up kind of what you said there, which is, we're saved by grace for good works, and, you know, God has prepared good works for us to walk in beforehand. Yeah. And sometimes we get that mixed up. Sometimes we think we're saved by good works for grace, but if we're saved by grace, and then God uses us and provides us with good works to walk in, and that we ought to. And some of those good works are things like fighting for righteousness and in our own lives, and then fighting to understand the difference between good and evil. A verse that's really come to mind for me the last, I don't know, 6 months or a year is, there's a verse in Hebrews 5:14. And it says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so there's this idea that to be mature is to be able to distinguish good from evil and then and act upon it. And I don't think that means we're saved by doing those things, but that's what maturity is. Maturity is when we can see clearly, we can be repulsed by evil, and we can honor and encourage what is truly good. And that sometimes feels like something really obvious, but it's not so obvious when we really start to see ourselves and the things we want. You know, as you mentioned, it's like you can, on the outside, it can always look good, but you know, your conscience tells you on the inside when it's not right.
Yeah.
And so, so I love that idea of we're saved by grace for good works.
It's a struggle, I think, I think for anyone who grew up in a church, especially that was, you know, what the church my wife did, she grew up in a church that was very focused on what you're doing. So that was hard for her. But I think for men in general, like I said earlier, just action-oriented people, that can be difficult. That can be difficult to, like, you know, you're doing all these things and then you realize one day, like, I'm doing them to try to please God, but God is not asking me to do these things to please him, right? He's asking me to love him, believe in him, accept his grace. And that will transform my heart to just do things. You know, I think it's kind of looking at it backwards. It's just not always easy.
You've been doing this the whole time we've been talking, but your last item was always communicating that you're better today than before because of God. Mm-hmm. And help me understand what that looks like in your life.
Yeah, it's for me, it's thanking God that the path I'm on is one that is growing closer to him. Right. I think the every day that I read my Bible, I learn more. Right? I'm shown more. Every day that I pray, it's another day of consistency, of growing that relationship with him and getting a little bit closer to him. And then I just think that, like, the things that we struggle with, like, we all have our, you know, our fleshy nature and things that we struggle with. Mine is physical insecurity that I struggle with. And I think the longer I stay in a state of not thinking about my insecurity, right, that's not a struggle for me, the more days I spend without that being a struggle, the more progress I feel like I've made, right, which just shows me that, okay, I'm this working, I'm growing closer to Jesus. Jesus is with me. He's always with me, but I'm allowing him in my spirit to where I am not worried about insecurity. Right. And I know for some people, I talked to a friend about this because he struggles with looking at other women outside of his marriage, right? Not necessarily online or anything, but just looking at women as they walk by. He struggles with that. And he is like, you know, but isn't that kind of okay? Like, if I'm not daring or gawking or things like that. And I might just say, you know, that's something between you and God, right? You have to ask God that, and I'm sure God would tell you the answer. He'll reveal the answer to you. But the reality is that, like, you should be striving to closer something to everybody. And you'll know you're growing closer to God because you'll spend more days focusing your life. Yeah. Like, you'll feel more days in God's presence where you're not only looking at women as they walk by, but literally your eyes not even, like, you're not even seeing them. And I think that's how you truly feel God's presence, is that, like, when the struggle have longer periods of time where it doesn't, you don't even notice that it's not there. You don't even notice that you're not struggling with it that day or that week or that month. And I think the better you do with that, that's what I mean. Like, when I say, like I'm better today, I'm not necessarily better. I'm the same I've always been. God makes me better, right? It's just I'm growing closer to him, okay, right? And that makes me feel good. And that looks like a better person, right? It looks like someone who's better, right? Even though my wife always says, you know, no one's really a good or better person. It's God, truly God in us, that makes us that.
Yeah, love that. If you could go back and tell yourself something, what would you go back and tell yourself?
Oh, man. I would tell me in my early 20s, do not abandon God. I spent about a decade, I think, trying to pretend that I knew what I was doing on my own, that I didn't need God, and that God had shown me too many things in my life that just made it feel like it wasn't for me, and I was so wrong about that. So I would 100% go back to my younger self and say, do not abandon God, because he's not abandoning you, right? No matter what.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. sign up for our monthly newsletter, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.